The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. Isaiah chapter 40. Funny, when I was in seminary, I had a few British people, or those from Canada up north, and they would always call it Isaiah. So, Isaiah, Isaiah, potato, potato, the word is what counts. How we see the word of God is what differentiates us from a lot of people. Do you believe the red letters in the Bible? Do you believe that the word that Jesus spoke is the word we receive as written and sent down to us? I do. And that's what this is all about. That's why we're here in this building. Blessed to own this building. We are here and have been set apart. And may God bless us, protect us, and let us thrive for His service. You see, since the beginning of time, it's been no secret that God has a plan for our salvation. He showed those who spoke to and through Him that He wanted all of humanity to have the opportunity to be saved from an endless eternity without Him. And that to prevent it, He would send a Savior. God sent prophets with that message, announced with absolute clarity and certainty. One of those prophets was the man named Isaiah, or Isaiah. He lived 700 years before Jesus. And then there was another, whose name was John, or Yohanan. John the Baptist, and his whole purpose in life was to be a sort of opening act, the warm-up act, the forerunner, the evangelist, who would proclaim the coming of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, the Messiah, or the Anointed One, to a nation, to a world drenched in the darkness of sin. Now, I believe that God never intended for the birth and life of His Son Jesus to be a secret. He had revealed by many prophetic witnesses throughout the Old Testament that Jesus, His Anointed One, His Messiah, would truly be born. He even said where? That it would be in the city of David, in Bethlehem. He had given Isaiah words to write that described in detail what Jesus' purpose would be. God had sent His holy angels to sing hallelujahs on the hills of Judea. And then God placed a star in the sky to guide those who were watching right to the very place of Jesus' birth, and where Mary and Joseph stayed after the birth of Christ. God anointed John to be His forerunner, preaching and preparing for the coming of the Lord. No one witnessed the coming of the Son of God except for a few shepherds, a few wise men, and some barnyard animals. But yet the truth of His birth has made it 2,000 years into the hearts of men and women, changing lives and saving souls. Throughout the Old Testament, God tried to give mankind every possible clue. I like to say He left a trail of breadcrumbs for us to follow. But no surprise here, mankind wasn't listening, mankind wasn't watching, and didn't really understand what they were waiting for. Though Israel had longed for their Messiah to come, they really didn't know who He was when He came. They were expecting a warrior king. John the Baptizer stood along the banks of the Jordan River, which, by the way, is no wider than this room. Some people expect it to be as wide or as long, a tremendous river like the St. John's River in Jacksonville, which requires bridges to get across, big bridges. John stood on the banks of the Jordan with powerful preaching. It had been hundreds of years since Israel had heard this kind of preaching. John's message was strong, and it was uncompromising. He had a message to deliver, and oh boy, did he deliver it. His message was one of repentance and forgiveness of sins. I'm going to ask you to please turn in your pew Bible to page 1596 so that we can look at today's Holy Gospel from Luke. We'll be looking at verses 4 through 6, the top of page 1596. In it says that John was echoing our first reading from the words of the prophet Isaiah. Sam read that beautifully this morning with certainty and with power that those words are true. Right on the top of the page, a voice of one calling in the wilderness, "Prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight paths for him. Every valley shall be filled in, every mountain and hill made low. The crooked roads shall become straight, the rough ways smooth, and all people will see God's salvation." Now, John wasn't a man to mince words or even beat around the bush. He spoke what the Holy Spirit inspired him to say, and let the chips fall where they may. When the religious leaders and the crowds of people would come near, they never left without getting an earful of God's message. I want you to hear how strong his message was. Immediately following today's Holy Gospel, on the same page I just took you to, in Luke chapter 3, verses 7 and 8. And please don't be offended by these words. They're not meant for you. John said to the crowds coming out to be baptized by him, "You brood of vipers!" Whew. Wow. Who wants to be called a snake, let alone a slithering reptile? "Who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Produce fruit in keeping with repentance, and do not begin to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father.' For I say to you that out of these stones, God can raise up children for Abraham." John was telling them it's about who you believe in, not who you're related to. John's words cut right into the heart of the sinner and brought them to their knees in repentance. That kind of preaching and power only comes through the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, of course, not everyone who heard him would repent. Many would walk away still lost in their sin. Many in need of his message would repent and then allow John to baptize them, wash them clean in the river. God had him baptize so many that he became known as John the Baptizer, or John the Baptist, instead of John, the son of Zechariah. I want to suggest to you, what good does it do for any of us to say, "Jesus is the reason for the season," unless we recognize right up front that sin and salvation are the reasons for Jesus' coming in the first place? The message of repentance from sin and salvation from sin needs to be heard, and that people are truly in need of a Savior. Unfortunately, there are people who believe they have no need of any help, and they don't need a Savior. Honestly, we should be doing the same thing that John the Baptizer did, proclaiming the coming of the Lord to a world lost in sin. John was called to be getting the word out. It's not popular to be a Christian in today's day and age. You hear us called right-wing freaks and all sorts of nasty names, but Jesus told us that was going to happen. It's important for us to recognize, and listen to this carefully, the need for belief and faith in a big God and not a bigger faith or belief in God. Let me repeat that. The need for belief and faith in a big God and not a bigger faith or belief in God. Do you understand what I'm saying here? God is big. He can do everything. He wants us to do one thing besides believe. Trust him. The Greek word used in the New Testament for faith and belief is pisteuo. It's an important ingredient in our lives and personal relationship with God, especially in our prayer life with him. How we respond to the salvation by grace through faith is so important. Many of you know the Apostle Paul's words in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. There's nothing you can do to earn heaven. Nothing. Salvation is a gift from God. Because of our belief in Him, our faith in Him, and that grace flows abundantly to us from Him. How we respond to this gift of salvation by grace through faith is life-changing. Not only for us, but for those people who are around us, who have a chance to see the transformation that has taken place in our lives. How we've changed. How our language has changed. Gee, he didn't always talk like that. Wow. How our demeanor changes. How we treat others. We need to respond through grateful obedience to this precious gift. A gift of which the Apostle James tells us, we need not sit on our hands, but we need to get the word out. He says in James chapter 2, verses 17 and 18, in the same way, faith by itself, if it's not accompanied by action, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith, I have deeds. Show me your faith without deeds, and I'll show you my faith by what I do. You may have heard it as faith without works is dead. But I like to hear it said this way. Faith by itself, if not accompanied by action. We do things for people because we've been saved. And out of grateful obedience, we want to share that love and the news of salvation with others. You can't earn it. It's not about doing things to earn our place in heaven. We should be so grateful to God for this gift that we want to do things for other people around us. One more Greek word. The word keruso. That word means getting the word out. Keruso is not the lady who served lunch in the cafeteria when you were in high school. Keruso means proclaiming or preaching. Actually, the woman that used to serve the hockey pucks as hamburgers, her name was Keruso. That's why I think that way. What can I tell you? Proclaiming or preaching. Living God's word so that others benefit from our efforts. John the Baptist preached in the wilderness, and you and I are in a sort of wilderness today. We live in a fallen world with people who are looking for something, and that something is and should be Jesus. How we respond makes all the difference. A few years ago, our daughter Teresa was in Jacksonville, Florida, at the Youth with a Mission base. It was just 3 years ago. YWAM, attending Discipleship Training School, DTS. The DTS is divided into two parts, a 12-week lecture phase followed by a 9-week outreach phase. In order to graduate from DTS, both phases have to be successfully completed. She was originally going to Nepal and India, which changed to just India. Then they changed it to South America, to Guyana and Suriname. To our surprise, none of those places was where Teresa went to. Instead, she was headed to all places, Turkey, to share the gospel and undertake the task of getting the word out. They were headed to the seat of the Holy Roman Empire, where Paul himself brought the gospel. Teresa was so excited because Paul is one of her personal spiritual heroes. Teresa felt a call on her life since she was around 5 years old. She would boldly proclaim that she was going to be a missionary. It's like, where's she getting this from? She knew the call, God's call on her life, even at the age of five. I didn't know that I was going to be a priest. And here I am celebrating my 10th anniversary of ordination as a priest this coming Friday, December 11th. Amazingly enough, at St. John's Cathedral in Jacksonville, Florida. I had no clue. It's incredible that this five-year-old knew so clearly. And that in itself was exciting to see come to fruition. Got to tell you how scared we were. Turkey? A Muslim country? You got to cover your head? Believe it or not, she and others from YWAM went into coffee houses, because that's where the free internet was. They went into coffee houses and they were sharing the gospel with men and women sitting in the coffee houses. What a unique opportunity. We were scared for her, and she was bold enough to go out and do what God told her to do. Amazing. John preached about the coming harvest of men's souls, and that message is just as real today as it was then. John said Jesus was coming. Jesus, the master builder, the chief cornerstone, the very Son of God, who had all power in heaven and on earth, that he was coming for a purpose. John proclaimed the truth in John chapter 1, verse 29. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. We get to sing that later. I told you about the New Wineskins Missionary Network. And earlier this year, my good friend and director of New Wineskins, Sharon Steinmiller, came here to St. Andrews to speak to us. Bishop Neal spoke last week about the New Wineskins Conference, which takes place every 3 years at Ridgecrest, North Carolina. It's an awesome network of missionaries who live and carry the gospel to the four corners of the earth. Just 6 years ago, we took a van with 9 members of St. Bartholomew's to Ridgecrest on a 10-hour tour. I drove all the way. And then 3 years ago, we took 2 vans with walkie-talkies to communicate and 13 more people. As Bishop Neal mentioned last week, it's a life-changing experience. I've put some full-color flyers in the back of the church. I hope you'll take one and look it over. If for nothing else, just for the information to know what's out there. This coming April 7th to the 10th, from Thursday to Sunday, missionaries and lay people, bishops and archbishops from around the world will gather to worship together, to give and hear testimonies, and teach about people groups who need to hear about the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's going to be a precious time, and I hope you'll take a flyer. There'll be something for all ages. Please take a flyer, check out their website, www.newwineskins.org. The message that John preached has never changed and never will change until time is no more. It was simple. Make your paths straight. Repent of your sin. Call upon the name of the Lord. Believe in Jesus and that he shed blood, his blood, on the cross for the remission of your sins. Each one of us is called to preach about the coming of Jesus because he is coming soon. Like John, we're called to be getting the word out. And in closing, I want to ask you a personal question. If Jesus came tomorrow and asked you, "So what have I done for you? How have we made a difference together?" What could your answer be? What would you tell him? Would you say, "I'll get back to you on that"? Would you have to search for some piece of paper where you've written it down? Or you can tell what Jesus has done in your life from your heart in a moment's notice. Some of you can, because I've heard the stories that you've told me on what Jesus has done and how you have carried that message. It should be part of all of our DNA and not something we need to look up. If you're asked about your children or your grandchildren, you don't have to prepare or look anything up, right? You could go on for hours. So why do we stutter and stammer and prepare to tell others about Christ in our life? Where's our faith? It's funny, in the parade last night, as we were preparing, these young people who were handing out flyers said, "What should I say? What should I tell people?" And I said, "Merry Christmas. God loves you." And then I stopped and I said, "Don't worry about what to say. Jesus said, the Holy Spirit will give you the words. At the end of the parade, as we were turning in by the old middle school, one of the girls came over to me, gave me a high five and said, I can't believe what we just did. What a message. What a message. Don't worry about what to say or how to say it. At that time, you'll be given what to say, for it will not be you speaking, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. We need to do our part simply by taking a chance, or as Bishop Neal said, taking a risk. By getting the word out. By going out on a limb for Jesus. After all, Jesus went on a cross for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.